Woo-hoo! It's Sabbath, everyone. So glad that you're joining us here today. I woke up this morning early and actually went for a run. Very rare occurrence, but I went for a run. And at the top of my run, I looked out and I saw the Cascades covered in snow. And it got me thinking, I think it's about time we start hiking season if you haven't already. I'm so happy that it's a beautiful day and that we're here in God's creation in Seattle and that we can go out and enjoy it. And we're so glad you're joining us this morning for church. And we're going to start off with a wonderful prelude from Wanda. We'll go there now. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
it's a beautiful piece, Wanda. Thank you. Happy Sabbath to all of you. Thank you for joining us again. I'm Scott Callender, and I'm hosting today. Welcome to Green Lake Church Zoom service, and we're so glad you've joined us. I hope you feel peace today on this Sabbath day and the confidence that comes from believing in Jesus as your Savior and knowing that we can live joyfully in this beautiful weather here today and the fact that you're joining us and joining all your friends in this church service. The tradition here at Green Lake is to take a look at birthdays that we have coming up. And so I'm going to start us off wishing Lori Waters a happy birthday. We hope you do something really special this week, Lori. Bernard Pham, happy birthday to you. I always enjoy our deep conversations about all things, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday this week. A happy birthday to Linda Hybe. We are keeping you in our prayers, Linda, and we hope you're still recovering from your fall. We are thinking of you, and we hope you have some joyfulness during your birthday this week. And then also a happy birthday to Griffin Muth, your birthday this week. Go do something cool, all right? Passing it over to Charlene for some other birthdays.
Thank you, Scott. We have a lot of birthdays this week. I have four more birthday wishes to Emily Wilbur, Colleen Squibb, Shelby Gerlitz, and Ava Lauer. We hope all of you have a wonderful birthday this week. And also anybody that we might have missed, it's so hard to make sure we always have everybody on the list. So happy birthday to any of you that we have missed. And now Scott has some more announcements for us.
Thank you, Charlene. So first thing is another reminder, and this is the last one, you need to submit graduate names. There's the form again attached to the email that went out on Thursday night, and the deadline for that is June 1. So this is kind of your last weekend to get in the graduate names that we'll be celebrating on June 26th. If you have questions about any of that, you can contact Selena Ellers. So this is the last weekend to get those in, and also early congratulations to any of the graduates. We have a lecture series coming up. Dr. Titus Kennedy is a biblical archaeologist and has been doing studies around the world in biblical archaeology and will be presenting some of his photos and findings on June 18 and 19 over a Zoom for us. So very exciting to kind of get an updated look at where we're at with biblical archaeology. So I encourage you all to pay attention. The next few weeks, we'll be sharing those Zoom links for you to join in with us on our lecture series. I also have a membership transfer, a second reading for Gwen Bromgard leaving to Edmonds, and then Rhea and Susan Harvey who are leaving to Middletown Valley in Jefferson, Maryland. So membership transfer there. On a sad note, we also want to send our love and our prayers out to Lee Devon and family. His mother, Virginia Devon's passed away this last week, and we want to send our prayers and thoughts to you. Then next, I'd like to introduce our speaker, who is going to be Dan Hilasaka. And Dan is currently the pastor for the Red Cliffs Church and Cedar City Church in Southern Utah, and part of Nevada, Utah Conference. So Jerry Bryant is who suggested that Dan come and speak to us today, and we are excited to hear his message on prayer. And now I'm going to send it over to Charlene for more notes on the service.
Thanks, Scott. Wanda is off today, so I will be sharing some notes about the music with you in a minute. But first, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of those who have helped to create our wonderful online worship services that we've been enjoying every week. We're looking forward to upcoming changes. First, of course, Pastor McGill will be beginning his ministry with us next week. He will not be in here in person yet. That will be July when he's here in person, but he will be beginning ministry next week. And then speaking of July, of course, that is when we will begin to meet in person again in the sanctuary, which will be wonderful. But in the meantime, I'd really like to, like I said, thank all of you who have helped to make our online services function for all this time. After more than a year of online services, it would be impossible to mention everyone who has participated. So first, a big thank you to everyone who has recorded scripture or prayer or offering call music, children's story, more things. So many people have participated in that over this last more than a year. And also there's a group of people who have contacted all those participants and scheduled them to be in the services. And a big thank you to all of you. Of course, every week, just to get each service on, takes a lot of work. And I want to thank people involved in that from week to week. Tad and Lee have been working behind the scenes every week. Wanda, of course, not only coming on live as she usually does, but organizing all of the music for our services. And Gumi, who spends many, many hours producing our final worship service each week and helps to put those final touches on that make it such a wonderful service. Now, after Pastor John retired at the end of last year, more help was needed to fill in for his roles. And the first person I'd like to thank on that side of things is actually Pastor John. Before he retired, he scheduled for us nearly every speaker that we have had in the 5 months since his retirement. And that has been a wonderful gift to our congregation that he did all of that scheduling of all the wonderful speakers we've had. And then, of course, we have needed people to host the services. And so Emily, Erica, and Scott have done such a wonderful job of hosting services for us and being warm and welcoming each week. So again, thank you to all of you who have worked to bless us with these wonderful worship services that we've been having online. Now on to today's music. I'll just briefly tell you the offertory is today by the Cherub Choir. They are singing Welcome Table. This is a newly edited video that Gumi put together, and you will surely receive an extra dose of joy in your week from this song. It's wonderful. The special music for today is a solo by Jamie Lund, who has frequently shared her vocal gifts with us, both as a soloist and as a member of the choir or in the choir over the years. Today's selection was recorded originally in August of 2018, and it's a piece from Handel's beloved oratorio, Messiah. And now it's time for our opening hymn, which is hymn number 221, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
Please bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, thank you for calling us together to worship today. Send us your power and wisdom to be shared through the participants in our worship service. Grant us your grace and your peace, and empower us to gather a renewed sense of comfort and life today for the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
This week, we have a really beautiful opportunity in our giving. The money we put into the virtual offering box today will go toward raising $100,000 to assist the Arctic Mission Adventure. When we think of Alaska, we often imagine majestic mountains, rich wildlife, hardcore fishing and adventure, maybe even cruises. What we don't often hear about, however, is the extreme hardship these folks who live in what's referred to as Bush Alaska experience, and especially the kids who make up a majority of their populations. Bush Alaska means any place that's not on the road system. There are more than 230 villages tied to Arctic Alaska, and the kids in these native villages face enormous challenges. 1 in 5 experiences food insecurity. Sexual abuse among Alaska children is 6 times the national average, while substance abuse and suicide rates top the nation among the young. Due to the remote, isolated locations of these villages, poverty and the struggle to survive are intense, and the costs are enormous. In fact, outreach to Alaskan villages is more than double that of the costs in the lower 48 states of the U.S. That's the outreach coming from the church. And that is because sources must be flown in or barged in. For example, a loaf of plain white bread can be anywhere from $7 to $9. A tomato costs $4, and a gallon of milk can be $10 to $12. The Arctic Mission Adventure aims to take these challenges on and make a difference in these kids' lives. Not only will the raised funds address these challenges, they will also be used to raise up Native leaders to work within their communities to change these systemic issues. This is an effective and meaningful way to share our wealth, to put our giving money to work for kids and eventually future generations. What we give today can help families in these villages cope and lower poverty levels while addressing the social issues that often accompany people who struggle to survive. Currently, there are 8 workers who, Adventist workers, who live on site to provide day programs or after-school programs, VBS, and just generally safe places for these kids to be away from the rampant alcoholism, drug use, and despondency that they deal with every day. These workers have dedicated their lives to living in isolation, to dealing every day with the hurt and the destructive characteristics of some of these situations, and they are providing hope to these people. It's really making a difference. And so this mission also supports them. I'm really excited about what it's setting out to do. And I'm really grateful that we have the awareness, the wealth, and the invitation to join the effort. Whatever you have to give today, be it small or large, you can be a part of changing these Alaskan kids' lives. Let's pray. God, you are father and mother to these children. They are your kids, precious in your sight. You need us to be your helping hands, to offer whatever means possible to make a tangible difference in their lives and in these villages. Thank you so much for this mission. Bless those who are leading it and sustaining it. Give them comfort. May they have everything that they need, and may we be part of that. May they know that they have many friends supporting them, surrounding them with prayers as they grapple with the great challenge. Please multiply whatever offerings are collected today from our church family. Amen.
I can see.
Hi, everyone. Obviously, we're having a few technical difficulties. I think Gumi had to restart his computer to get the video to play again. So I think we're going to maybe try and replay that song. Sorry for that. I was enjoying it very much. I'm sad it stopped right there in the middle, but we are going to try and get it back up and running for you here in just a little bit. So while we're waiting for that, I do hope you were enjoying it. And the dancing was especially nice that everyone was doing there. So we will be back with you in just a couple minutes while we're waiting for Gumi. So I'll give you an update here as soon as I have another one too. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Hi, all. We're still waiting, waiting for a little update here from Gumi. So I think he had his system completely crash on him. So we're also in the dark right now as far as when we're coming back online, but he is working on it and he is going to get us back online here in as soon as he can. So I don't have an estimate for you yet, but it's coming here real soon. So hang with us and we will continue on with the service as soon as we're back online. So I'll give you an update as soon as I have another update for you.
Hello, boys and girls. My name's John, and I'm going to be your storyteller today. How is everybody? Oh, good, good. Listen, today I'm going to spend a few minutes, and I'm going to share some flowers and maybe some bushes and birds and ducks and whatever else we see here. I'm going to turn the camera here and show you what we call rhododendrons. And look at those flowers. Do you know what those little things inside are called? Does anybody know? Yeah, I think you got it. Pistils. Now, I'm no expert on flowers. I had to look that up, but aren't those beautiful? And look at those little freckles or design they have inside. And we've got white ones here too. Aren't those something? Now, there's a few bees here still. It's kind of late. But I saw a bee or kind of buzzing around there working on these flowers. I'm going to show you another color here. I kind of think these are pinkish lavender. And then we've got, oh, I don't know what, I call them rose. They might be pink. Aren't those something? Now we're going to wander over here, and I see a blackbird right there. Oh, yeah. Mr. Blackbird. There's a few of them here. Where did he go? Oh, there. Well, he's flying away. Okay, we had some ducks here. I might have scared them away. And so we've got all of this along the water, the shore of the lake here. We've got all these plants and they're growing up, and the birds like to come and perch in here and sing their songs, and they know how to sing quite well. And then right along this fence here, after it gets a little darker, raccoons come out and they run along here. So the next thing I want to show you, it's a little cold out here, so if I sniffle here or there, pardon me, but it's this flower. It's a lily. Look how beautiful that is. It's got these three petals and legs that go out on them, and then this design. Lilies. And then the lily pads. One of my favorite flowers is a lily pad flower when they open up in during the daytime. Isn't that something? Some of these flowers, they're smart. They close up at night. And there's probably some frogs in here. I did heard something croaking yesterday. So I see that the geese, we have a bunch of Canadian geese that live here, but they're not really out. It might be kind of cold there for them. And I see the winds kicking up and see the trees moving. So how many of you, I got a question. How many of you can think of a Bible verse that talks about flowers? Anybody? Okay, somebody? Yeah. Do you know where it's at? Well, I have one. I have one that I want to share. It's, and I'm going to focus in on this flower now as I share it with you. It's in Matthew chapter 6, starting around verse 28. Look at the wildflowers grow. Jesus said, he's talking to his disciples and people that are there listening. They do not work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all of his money or his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? Question mark. I think Jesus knew the answer to that. But some of us need to still learn it. And I think that some of us grown-ups need to learn it, maybe even more so than some of you young ones. But so what is Jesus saying here? Of course, we need to worry enough to get up out of bed and go to work and whatever that is for you. You might be on a farm where you need to get up and feed the cows and the horses and the chickens, and or you just might be in the city and you need to get up and get to work and perform your duties. Or for you young ones, you might need to take care of your chores in the house, in putting things in order and cleaning up. It's all necessary. But what Jesus is saying is that there are times in life when we needn't worry so much. We just got to let it go and trust that it's all going to work out. So if you, I'm going to see if I can focus on Mr. Blackbird here. If you come to a time or place where you feel kind of down and worried, or you know somebody, a friend or somebody in your family that's worried and down, that you can encourage them and tell them that Jesus cares and that there is hope. And so with that, I'm going to say a short prayer and we're going to move on with the morning service. Dear God, thank you for this message. We pray for faith and trust. We pray for more tranquility in our lives. And we ask you to help us practice it. Give us the strength and the power to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, until next time, take care.
Good morning, God. Right now we pause to lean more deeply into your kind and gracious presence with our yearnings, our desires, sorrows, joys, questions, and our needs. We also lean into you with our trust and our hope and our gratitude. These days, springtime, you call our attention to awakenings, openings, possibilities, to new growth, to hope. There is beauty all around us. But even in springtime, each of us is experiencing our own particular season of life. Some of it is wonderful and hopeful, and some of it is painful or perplexing. Sometimes it is all of this at the same time and more. Please come close to each one, whatever season it is, in a way that can be recognized and understood. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. We trust your commitment to each of us. And because of that, I present to you the following concerns on behalf of loved ones and friends in the church family. First, I present to you Becky Meacham's sister, who's battling cancer. Davy Reed, a family friend of the Dunstans who is just 5 years old, is going to have brain surgery. Diane Carlisle continues to contend with health concerns. The child care and preschool workers here at the church through the week need safety and care as they serve the children. Joanne McGale is dealing with health issues. Linda Hybe is recovering from injuries due to a fall. Mary Churchill has health challenges. Nola Jean Bamberry is still going through cancer treatment. And a family, you know who they are, is worried for their child who is involved with drugs. And Helen Gaiju's friend and classmate is battling cancer. We ask you, God, for relief and healing for each of these people, each one who is sick and who is struggling, and those who are not on this list, who are struggling in private. We want each of them to live and to thrive. Please help them in the best way possible. Holy Spirit, please bring comfort and wisdom to their families and friends. Shine a light for them. Shine a light for all of us so that we can understand the path ahead of us and know how best to travel it. Before moving from our time of praying to you, I also want to bring to you our city, Seattle, and its particular complexities and challenges. May we bring light and hope and respect wherever we go, whomever we meet. Please help us to know how to be your hands and feet to our city, to the citizens of our city. Please save our planet and all of humanity going through this complex, challenging time. Jesus, we're grateful that you plan to return, and we continue to hope in heaven and what lies beyond the grave. And please keep us faithful to this hope. As we wait, may we find joy in the life that we have and continue to live in truth and love. I pray all these things in your name, Jesus, because you gave your life to save us, to make it possible. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Job 5, 8 to 9. If I were you, I would go to God and present my case to him. He does great things, too marvelous to understand. He performed countless miracles.
Thank you. From Luke 11 through 9. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. May the Lord bless the hearing of the word.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, Green Lake Church family. I am really happy to share the word with you this morning. And it's such a privilege to be part of this series of the Kingdom of Heaven. And I have listened to some of the other presentations, and it is just a blessing to know that God is willing, and He is willing to invite us to participate in this beautiful kingdom that He has promised to us. Now, there's only one thing that I want to ask of you this morning, and is to please keep your Bible ready in Luke chapter 11. Whether you have a Bible in paper or in an electronic device, I ask you to please have your Bible ready in Luke chapter 11. And as you have already heard from Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer a couple of weeks ago, we're not going to get into that again, but there is a second part of this whole answer that Jesus is giving that we're going to get to see this morning. And that's why I'm asking you to keep your Bible ready in Luke chapter 11. Now, before we start, there's something that we need to establish here, and is that in the book of Luke, especially in the book of Luke, the writer, Luke, he took the time to research, he took the time to investigate, to listen to the stories, to go around and interview people about what happened while Jesus was on earth. So that's why you have this recount. That's why you have this other stories that you don't get to see in the other Gospels. But there are intentionally there with a purpose. And that's when we're about to enter into Luke 11. I want you to keep in mind this. And not only that, but also that Luke portrays the idea of the kingdom of heaven as something that is visible, something that is attainable, something that is accessible to everybody. And, well, that's exactly what Jesus wanted. He wanted to show to his disciples and to his followers and to everybody who listened to him that the kingdom of heaven was here and was now. That the kingdom of heaven was for them to take, was for them to participate in, was for them to believe in. And that's why now, when the disciples start to see, and this is at the very beginning of chapter 11, the first verses, you get to see that they saw Jesus praying as he would daily do. And now they go to him and they ask him, they request of Jesus and say, please, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, in this request, and this is very important for us to also keep in mind. In this request, the disciples are trying to make sense of what Jesus is telling them, of what is this concept, what is this idea of the kingdom of heaven. Because for them, the idea of a kingdom was completely different from what Jesus had in mind. That's why Jesus had to keep repeating and keep showing them time after time after time what was the kingdom all about. And now, as they probably started to understand that the kingdom was here, that the kingdom was now, that the kingdom was something that they could see as a reality, they are wondering, how is it that we can communicate? How is it that we can talk with the king of this kingdom? And that's why we get to see at the very beginning of chapter 11, this important, basic, but very important request. Teach us how to pray. And perhaps we can start with a question this morning, a question that I want you to keep answering throughout this message, which is, when was the last time that you asked God to teach you something? When was the last time that you said, God, please teach me? Or we can even go as far as the request of the disciples, and I could ask you this morning, when was the last time that you asked Jesus, teach me how to pray? Now, Jesus' answer is divided in three parts throughout this this first part, this big first part of Luke 11. We get to see that Jesus divides his answer in three parts. The first part is the Lord's Prayer that we have already studied about a couple of weeks ago. And the third part, and I would consider that to be the last part of his answer, is found in this also famous verses of the Bible where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock on the door and it will be open to you. Now, between the first and the third, there's this very small part. There's a short story that Luke integrated in the answer that Jesus gave to his disciples. Now, we only get to see this here, the Gospel of Luke. But this is very important because there's an intentionality. And by the way, I'm going to show you how this short story is connected to the first and the third part of the answer and how important it is for us to understand what Jesus had in mind when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. So I have my Bible here with me, and I want you to open your Bibles, or if you already have it ready there, whether it's on paper or in an electronic device, Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 5. Verse 5 says like this, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Verse 6, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now, we're going to stop there for a second. This question that Jesus is given to his disciples, he's just asking his disciples, it already gives you an idea of how different this story is from the regular times where Jesus would just tell a story or a parable to his disciples. Because usually Jesus would start with the premise saying, the kingdom of heaven is, or you can compare the kingdom of heaven to, or he would just say, a man or a woman, and then he will continue with the story. But in this case, he's trying to make this a little bit more direct to his disciples. He wants his disciples to understand this in a more personal and a deeper level. That's why he starts this story with a question and saying, which one of you, if you were in this case, what would you do? So that's why when Jesus started this story, he starts with this question, and he says that in this scenario, there's a friend who has a neighbor, most likely is his neighbor, and this one person, he receives another friend, probably from out of town, and he comes to his house, and he says he has nothing to give him. So that's why he goes to his neighbor, and it's the middle of the night, and he goes to his neighbor and asks him for some bread. Now, even though it was the middle of the night, the most common response, the most common answer would be for the one who is inside, for the one who's in the middle of the night, who is probably sleeping, to just give something, some type of bread, because in the first century and almost all the way until now, it was very common to show hospitality. Hospitality was a great feature that people in Jesus' time, that people had. Hospitality was their number one thing. And it wasn't just a matter of, okay, my family or just me, or just certain people that I know, but it was a thing of the community. So that's why it was very normal for this one person to just go in the middle of the night and go and ask for some bread. But the response, the answer that he gets from the inside is what caught the attention of the disciples. And I want you to see that now with me in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And he will answer from within," you know, from the inside of the house, "and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.'" Now, this answer is not an answer that anybody would expect, even though it was the middle of the night. And, you know, you and me, I don't think we would normally just wake up in the middle of the night because somebody's at the door asking for some bread. But in this case, this one guy, this family guy, he answers from within. He doesn't even get up or wait. He doesn't even get up, but he says, "Hey, don't you see that it's the middle of the night? Don't you know that the door is already knocked? The door is already locked. And, you know, I'm here with my children, with my family already sleeping. And you want me to get up and give you some bread?" And this is not an answer that anybody was expecting, and perhaps that's exactly what happens to you and me. Sometimes the answers that we're looking for, the answers that we're waiting for, are not exactly the ones that we receive. And when we get some answers, when we get some type of reply, we are like, "Wait, what? This is not the answer that I was looking for. This is not the answer that I was expecting." And I don't know about you, but God has a very unique way of answering to you and to me. But the story doesn't end there, and I don't want you to think too much about that, because there is one more thing here, and I want you to please, please take in consideration this verse, verse 8. We're in Luke chapter 11, by the way. He says, "I say to you," Jesus is saying, "I say to you," to his disciples, who are, imagine all this scenario, who are supposed to answer this supposition that Jesus is giving to them. And he says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." And that's how Jesus finished this very short parable. Now, I said at the beginning that there's a connection between this story and the first and the third part of the answer. Now, there's two little details here. The first one is that Jesus makes sure that he's talking about bread, which, by the way, is found in the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus said on the Lord's Prayer, "Give us daily," or "Give us every day your daily bread." And now we get to see that in this scenario, in this story, bread is the same thing that is being asked for. And the second detail is connected to the third part of Jesus' answer on how to pray. Because here you see that in this story, the door is shut. The door is locked. And later on, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Luke had an intentionality to put this story in the middle of the answer that Jesus gave to his disciples to this request, teach us how to pray. We want to know that we are part of this new kingdom, that we can talk on this kingdom, that we know the language of this kingdom. And there's one more thing here, which is that Jesus said, verse 8, that the friend inside, he woke up and he got up and he helped his friend on the outside because of his persistence. Now, this word persistence is something that you and I, we need to understand a little bit better this morning. This persistence is not that type of persistence in where you're just kind of like, hey, please, you know, and you're making the other person uncomfortable. You're making the other person to feel like, so what do I do? You know, I'm being irritated by this other person, so I'm just going to help him because of that. If Jesus is giving this story, he's obviously referring to God and us, right? God and his disciples, God and himself. And there is no scenario, there is no way in where we get to see our God being irritated, being annoyed by what we ask. See, the persistence here, or the word persistence here, it should be looked from the perspective of the one who is being asked for, not from the perspective of the one who's asking. And if you're still trying to put this all together, let me tell you this. You and I, sometimes, and I just want to say sometimes, we don't see the value that we have in the eyes of our God. We don't understand still, to this day, we don't fully understand who is it that we are in the eyes of our God. And perhaps you would say this morning, well, Pastor, I know that I am the child of God. I know that I am a daughter. I know that I am a son of the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps that is true. But with our actions, with our words, we say it differently. I have had many people come to me and say, well, Pastor Dan, can you please pray for me? Because I don't feel that God listened to me. I think that, you know, because you're a little bit closer to God, because you're a pastor, maybe he will listen to you. So could you please pray for me? Or I have heard some other people saying, well, you know what? And they use this phrase in a very wrong way, by the way. So, well, it's just, maybe God's will, you know, whatever God's will is, that's, you know, that's why I'm going to take it, you know, and we use it wrongly, because there's a correct way of using it, but we use it wrongly when we go to God in prayer, doubting, when we go into prayer, not knowing exactly what we want, not knowing exactly if. We go with a lot of ifs, we go with a lot of suppositions, we go with a lot of doubt. We go to God not even believing that he's going to listen to us. But let me tell you this morning, and I want you to be very clear to you, that God is listening to you. That there is no place on this earth, there is no circumstance, there is no moment in where God cannot listen to what you have to say. Because if he couldn't, then he is not God. But he is God. And he listens to your every thought. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you want. I love how Hebrews, later on, Paul, who to be the author of Hebrews. He says that we can go with all confidence into the throne of grace, into the throne of God, knowing that He is there and that He is willing to listen to you and to me. And this doesn't stop there, but there's more to that, because now it's not that God just listens to you, He listens to you, but He also answers to you. When you and I step into the kingdom of heaven, when you and I start to believe that the way we communicate in this kingdom of heaven, the language in this kingdom is prayer, we get to see how important it is for you and for me to go with all confidence, to go and knowing that God is listening and He is willing, His desire is for you to go to Him. He says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are here with me, and I'm willing to listen to you, and I'm willing to answer to you. There's so many times in where we think so low of ourselves, and let me tell you this morning, that is a lie. I mean, it's true that the Bible says, yeah, you know, that we're all sinners, but the verse doesn't just finish there. It also says that through Christ, you and I, we are called sons and daughters of God. We are adopted into His family. We are adopted into His kingdom. We are adopted. We are sons and daughters of the King. And because we're sons and daughters of the King, you and I, should have the complete confidence and trust to go to Him with whatever it is that is in our hearts. Now, I want to share with you this quote that I found in this book called The Desire of Ages, page 668. And I want you to pay attention to what this quote says. It's beautiful. It says like this in The Desire of Ages, page 668. God is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon Him, that they may glorify His name, that they may expect large things if they have faith in His promises. And I want you just to pay attention to the first part. Obviously, the second part is very, very important, because you and I need faith. But the first part, it says that God is pleased, that He loves when we go to Him with the very highest demands. Let me ask you this question. What is your highest demand? What is the one thing that you have been praying and praying and praying about, and you are to the point where perhaps you have already stopped praying because you say, well, God is not listening to my prayer, or He doesn't care, or he's too busy with other stuff, you know, that He might not care that much about my request. Let me tell you this morning, that is not true. That is a lie. It says here in this beautiful quote that God is very pleased to listen. He loves when you go to Him with your highest demands. It says that because if you go to Him asking, it says that they may glorify His name. He wants His name to be glorified, but His name cannot be glorified if you don't ask. That's why right after this story found in verses 5-8, Jesus goes straight to the point and looking at His disciples straight to their faces says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on that door and it will be open. And Jesus finished, by the way, Jesus finished His answer in the third part by saying, if you are bad people, and you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give space there, blank space there, keep that in mind, to you. Now, there is a reason why I'm leaving this blank here, because when I preach about this, there's many people that say, well, you know, okay, so I'm just going to go to God. I'm going to ask. My highest demand is to win the lottery, or my highest demand is, you know, to win $1 million, or to have a beautiful house, or to have the perfect job. That is not what God is talking about. That is not what Jesus is sharing with his disciples. The whole point of going to God, the whole point of communicating with the kingdom of heaven, the whole point of being in the kingdom of heaven, participating, being part, being adopted by God himself, is that you have the very chance to be in his presence. Not because of who you are, not because of what you do, but because of Jesus Christ. You have that opportunity to be right in front of the kingdom of the King of the universe, right in front of the throne of grace, and go with confidence, knowing that God is right there in front of you, listening to you and taking care of you and showing how much he loves you. That is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. That is what praying is all about. That's why when Jesus started answering this question, teach us how to pray, this request, teach us how to pray, he starts by saying, hey, our Father, the Father of us, he is your Father and mine. He cares so much about you. And he said that it doesn't even matter if it's the middle of the night. It doesn't even matter what your request is. He will get up and he will give it to you. It doesn't even matter if the door is shut. I don't know how long you have been praying. Perhaps not for $1 million, but perhaps for a son, for a daughter. You have been praying for your husband, wife. Been praying for your parents. You have been praying for health. You have been praying for a job. You have been praying for something that a situation that is just so difficult within you that doesn't even let you sleep at night. Whatever is it that you're praying for, I want to tell you this morning, don't stop. Be persistent. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking on that door. Because that door will be open to you. That thing that you're seeking, you will find. That thing that you're asking for, it will be given to you. All you need to do is believe. Have that faith. And all you need to do, and that's why I left a blank space that you can probably go back to chapter 11 and see, that Jesus says, if you are bad people and you know how to give good things to your kids, to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to you and to me? We live in very dangerous times. We live in the end of times. We have been for some time now. And if there is one thing that you and I, we need to ask for in order to be part of this beautiful kingdom of heaven that is here, that is now, that you can get to live starting now, is the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the question that I asked at the beginning? When was the last time you asked Jesus to teach you something? Now let me ask you this question. When was the last time you ask or you pray for the Holy Spirit? Because you and I, we need it. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit so we can be part of this kingdom of heaven. in Paul's time after time after time, which is the Holy Spirit. It goes all the way to say, hey, follower of Jesus, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can live. The Spirit wants to live in you, within you. He wants you to be so transformed. He wants to change you so much to the point in where you can actually get to experience everything that you think that you're going to experience in the very last day when Jesus comes back for you. He wants you to start experiencing that now, today. The kingdom of heaven is not just a promise for the last day. It's a promise for you here and now. And that is exactly what he wants to do. But you and I, let's be persistent. Let's go with confidence. Let's go and knock on that door. Even if it's the middle of the night, be sure. Be completely sure that God is there waiting for you to go with your highest demand. He's very pleased to hear from you. He's very pleased. He loves you so much that he wants that for you. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, well, like Matthew said, everything else will be added. There's no better place, and there's no better moment, there's no better time than when we get to experience Jesus here in our hearts. And we win. That's when we get to see around and we see the kingdom of heaven being a reality. Jesus gives you the full understanding. And through his eyes, you get to see how beautiful that kingdom is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you because even if it's the middle of the night, you're willing to listen to us. You're willing to answer to us. Thank you because your kingdom is a reality. Because through Jesus Christ, the invisible becomes visible. And thank you because through Jesus Christ, what is in heaven becomes a reality here on earth. We want to learn, Father, how to pray, how to communicate with you in this kingdom. But more than that, we want to have that confidence, that trust, knowing that you are truly our Father and that you love us so, so much that you want to answer and you're pleased with our highest demands. That we can just ask and it will be given. If we can just seek, we will find. And if we knock on your door, you will open. And you're there with hearts wide open for every single one of us. We pray this morning that this story can be a reality in our lives and that we can come to you with everything that we are and everything that we have. Understanding that in reality, there's nothing good in us. There's nothing that we can deserve. But because of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice, and because he brings this kingdom and makes it a reality, but because of him, we have total access to this beautiful and amazing kingdom right here. And right now, help us to understand that you're the Father of all of us. Help us to understand that in through Jesus Christ, this is something possible and that we should not feel ashamed. We should not feel doubtful. That we should be just your kids, your sons and daughters. And as then, we should just come to you, knowing that you will answer to us because you love us. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who is willing to reside, to live in us. In Jesus' name we pray.
May we trust in your love and come to you in prayer. May we come to see that the song is written on your heart. And as we live in tune with the song, in tune with the creator of the universe, may we realize that we are in a relationship with the living God. Amen. Thank you so much for sticking with us today and handling through some of those technological difficulties. Really what happened there is that Gumi lost his home internet and now has been running the service off of his phone. So we're thankful for that opportunity to continue the service. And thank you for sticking with us through some of the jumpy internet. As always, we have Sabbath School classes that you can join online. The information is in the bulletin. And as your host today, this is my last time hosting, and thank you so much for all the support that you've given me as I've hosted and got to interact with some of you after church. It's been really lovely seeing you through this Zoom service, and we hope you have a wonderful, happy Sabbath, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.